Hello, I'm David Hamilton, and first of all, I'd just like to say thanks for picking up a copy of my new book, Why Woo Woo Works. I truly hope you enjoy the read. As a wee thank you, I thought I would just give you a little introduction to one of the key themes that runs through some parts of the book. It's that secret ingredient possessed by all true healers. And now, really, just to cut to the chase, that secret ingredient is empathy. It's a sense of felt connection. It's truly wishing and hoping for the recovery, the well-being of the person we're working with. And it's present in all healing environments, even in a doctor's consulting room. And in fact, a study of over 700 patients who had visited their doctor's consulting room for symptoms of the common cold were asked after the consultation to rate the doctor's level of empathy from a scale from 0 to 10, where 10 is the maximum amount of empathy. Now, amazingly, those who rated their doctor as a perfect 10 out of 10, the maximum empathy, their recovery rate was about 50% faster than everyone else's, and their immune response was about 50% higher. In fact, now a large review published in a premier medical journal concluded that empathy in the physician-patient relationship is of unquestionable importance. A study fairly recently, it tracked 175 males who had prostate cancer, and it found when the doctor showed really high empathy, they had much higher levels of natural killer cells, that very important immune cell, much higher levels in their bloodstream for up to 3 months afterwards, compared with those patients whose doctors hadn't showed them as much empathy. And nowadays, we know from a range of scientific studies over a number of different medical conditions that people, for example, with asthma, Crohn's disease, ulcerative colitis, and other conditions tend to have better sleep quality, lower levels of anxiety, and even lower inflammation levels when their doctor has showed them high empathy. So, but here's what I'd like to share with you is precisely why that is actually important, because it's not just in a doctor's consulting room that it's important. It's in any relationship where you are wishing the best for another person. So it equally applies to someone practicing Reiki or Jore or therapeutic touch or any of a type of healing touch therapies or any type of what we call complementary and alternative therapies. It matters in every single situation. And here's why the state of empathy, your state, matters so much. When you feel empathy for someone and they feel your empathy, if you will, it moves them and their nervous system into what's called parasympathetic dominance. So we have two main portions to the our autonomic nervous system. You have the stress response, the fight or flight, called the sympathetic, and then you have the rest and relax, the parasympathetic, and that's the state that's most conducive to restfulness and recovery, and really that's more of an optimum healing state. Now, when you show someone empathy, because they feel it, it moves their nervous system into a state of towards a state of parasympathetic dominance. So before you do anything, before you deliver any, prescription or consultation or any therapy whatsoever, the empathy that you feel and that you offer them immediately moves the person into a state, an optimum healing state. But here's a second thing that happens. Our brains have a little circuit called the mirror neuron system, or MNS for short. And it's responsible for that phenomena of emotional contagion. You've probably experienced that in your own life. It's why you feel happy around happy people or stressed around people who are feeling stressed, because what your mirror neuron system does is it mirrors the outward expression of emotion carried by a person's facial muscles and body language. So if you show empathy for a patient or a client or in any situation whatsoever, their mirror neuron system picks it up from your genuine empathetic state, your genuine expression of compassion on your face and in your body and in your breathing patterns, their mirror neuron system picks that up. And it makes them feel the same way. So your state is transferred onto the person. And it moves their body towards a state of parasympathetic dominance. There's something else that happens simultaneously. When we're in that optimum state ourselves, you know, of empathy, compassion, anything that you might see come is associated with the heart, love, compassion, empathy, these sorts of things. It alters and it expands the magnetic field that emanates from your heart, and it makes it a little bit more coherent. In other words, there's a smoother wave. If you had to track this on your phone or something, there's devices for that, you can see a smoother wave that's associated with compassion and empathy, love, kindness, that sort of thing. And what that smooth wave, that coherent state does, is it guides the state of the other person's body as well. And that's actually been referred to as the natural healer effect. So in other words, your state as the healer, whether you're a doctor or a complementary therapist, your state matters so, so much. And that's why I call this a secret ingredient, because your state itself is transferred onto the patient or client, and it can really impact the rate or the type of recovery that they have. But here's where it gets a little bit even more woo-woo. And I say that because some people refer to the following as really, really woo-woo. And I address these subjects in the book. This is also highly important. According to research, this is highly important in when we say prayers for people, or when we, and as scientists call it, we send distant intentionality. That's when you have a compassionate intent for the wellness of another person who is separated from you by a distance. It could be in another room, or it could be in another town, or even in another country. And numerous studies show that when empathy is present, the results tend to be far more significant. But here's the thing. Some of the really large reviews, in fact, I'll point to one in particular, a Cochrane review, concluded when it looked at all the research, all the prominent research in prayer, concluded that there was no evidence for or really against prayer. It was kind of on the fence sort of thing. They said there seems to be some evidence, but we're really not enough for us to say that it's yes or no kind of thing. And so a lot of people that were skeptical took that as a, well, obviously prayer doesn't work. But here's the thing. If you look at the actual individual studies, which I did when I was researching for the book, something really incredible comes out of it. In those studies, where empathy, where a sense of felt connection was part of the protocol of the study, the results tended to be compelling. And when it was missing from the protocol, the results tended to be quite negative. I'll give you an example. So one of the premier studies was led by a physician called Randolph Bird. And he had several hundred people who were recovering from heart surgery. Now, half of them were prayed for and half of them weren't. But here's the thing. The people doing the praying were given the name of each of the people being that they were praying for, also a little bit about the person, enough to kind of begin to form a connection. But here's the other thing. They were also given regular, relevant updates regarding the person's condition. Now, think about what that does. It gives an opportunity to feel a sense of connection for the person. You begin to develop a sense of emotional investment in their recovery. Now, in that study, what they found is the people being prayed for had lower use of painkillers, lower diuretics. They actually were healthier than those who weren't prayed for. Isn't that amazing? Now, contrast that with many of the bigger studies that didn't work, that didn't show evidence for prayer. Now, typically, the protocol for those are the person doing the praying is given the first name and the initial of the surname, and sometimes even given an anonymous ID number. Now, that's it. There's no opportunity for any form of felt connection because you don't know anything about the person. You need to know a bit about the person to get some degree of emotional investment in their recovery. And those studies found no evidence for the effectiveness of prayer. Now, let me just point this out. The people who led these studies weren't setting out to try to disprove prayer. It wasn't that they didn't believe in it, because some of them did. It just simply didn't occur to them to involve empathy or emotional connection. Because think about what prayer actually means to most people. We simply petition God or another deity on another person's behalf that they may get better. And that's it. So all we really need is an address. In other words, a person's name. And we presume that God or another deity will go right to that person. So it doesn't occur to us that empathy matters. But if you are of the religious persuasion, then maybe empathy, love, compassion, maybe that's God's language. Think about that. So anyway, the studies at work in prayer and distant intentionality, or what many people call distant healing, tend to be much stronger. The results are much stronger when empathy, felt connection, is part of the protocol, and the results are much weaker when it's not part of the protocol. So it's one of the themes that I point out in the book, of the importance of that felt connection, the importance of your state as the healer. So anyway, I hope you enjoy the book, and as I say, I just wanted to say thank you by giving you a really short introduction to one of the running themes that goes through some parts of the book. So thanks very much for listening.